Welcome everybody to our second There Is Hope class. I'm glad that all of you made it today. And I just know based off the feedback from the last class that I taught on Thursday, that that this is going to help you think a little differently than you are today. And it's going to help hopefully mobilize you to really work on your business. And my hope for all of you is that you will leave here empowered and encouraged. So as we go through this, I just want to say that I am good at a few things, but one of the things I'm not good at is teaching and moderating a chat panel at the same time. So what we're going to do as we go through this is I'm going to teach for a bit, and then I'm going to pause at some point and take Q&A. And I know that, that you're going to have a lot of questions, especially about the bill that passed on Friday and the SBA stuff toward the end of class. So I've saved that content for the end of our class. It's probably going to be a good hour, an hour of 15 minutes of content. Those of you who know me know that I'm thorough and I take this work very seriously. So we are going to be learning a lot today. And I just hope that you guys have set aside enough time to consume this content. So as we go, just know that I really want you encouraged and I really want you to be taking great notes. And I know that you're going to find a lot of hope in the content that we talk about today. So what is hope anyway? What is it, right? Well, I want to be really clear that in our class today, this is not about false hope, because there is no easy button to fix what's happening around the world or in our nation. This is a space where we're going to be exploring what is possible instead of the feeling of being lost. I feel like as I've been working with business owners all over the country over the last week and a half, there's this overall feeling of everything is lost. I feel hopeless, I feel stuck. So over the next hour, hour and a half, I really want you to give yourself permission to feel the hope that I want to inspire each of you to have and to explore what's possible versus that feeling of everything is impossible. Hope is the place in my mind where truth and faith align. That's what real hope is, where the truth and your faith align. And we're going to be looking at the truth about the business world and about your business today. And I know that you have faith in your business or you wouldn't have started. So hope is that place where your faith in your business and the truth align and work together. Even though your business was just shut down by the government or you just lost all of your revenue, there is hope, because hope is also not giving up. Hope is innovating and it's doing the next right thing and doing that consistently. Now, I'm not making light of what's going on, right? But I am here to lead you, empower you, and educate you. And I'm here to give you permission to be empowered today. But more importantly, I want you to give yourself permission to be empowered today. I'm here to help you think straight, because the reality of the matter is you are grieving. You are grieving. Grieving starts with shock. All of us know that. But what I want to help you understand is that you, whether you would know it or not, are probably shocked. And I want to start by telling you a story. Several years ago, my mom passed away. And we knew it was coming. She was very young, and she was somebody who had, we knew, absolutely knew that all of her, that we, excuse me, I'm being distracted. Hold on. Okay. The Zoom window's talking to me. There we go. Let's hope that worked. Okay. So let's start again. So several years ago, my mom was passing away and we knew she was passing away. Hospice had been called, all of that had happened already. And I can remember saying goodnight to her one night and leaving the house because I didn't want to be present when she passed away. But it was her wish that she passed away in the family home. So I got up the next morning and I heard that she had indeed passed. And I remember that I needed to kind of like be shocked and drive over to my mom's house and go see my sister's brothers, etc. So I got to the house and I walked through the front door, and that was a front door I'd walked through millions of times, right? Because this was the family home. And the way the family home was structured is you'd walk in the front door, and to the right, there was like a living room, and to the left, there was a hallway. And that hallway at the front of it had my mom's bedroom where I knew she'd passed. So when I walked in the door, I couldn't move past the entryway. It was like I had lead in my feet. It was like something in my brain just made me stop. And I know that I was thinking, I just don't want to see her bedroom. But I was shocked. I was in grief and I was shocked. And I stood there and I just blinked and stood there and blinked. And I kind of held on to the back of the door, just stood there. And I must have stood there for a full hour. And I remember my sisters coming to me and saying, "Hey, Leanne, come on, let's move." And I just couldn't move. There was a block for me where I just knew that I couldn't take a step toward her bedroom. So after a long time of that, however long that was, one of my sisters came to me and took me by the hand and literally made me move. She said, "Just let me take you to the couch." So she took me to the couch and I sat there. And I feel like this class may be that for all of you, because the reality is the business community in our nation is shocked and we are grieving. And I hope that this is the space where you feel like somebody comes to you when you maybe feel stuck and paralyzed with fear and uncertainty. This is a space where I'm going to take you by the hand, like my sister did, and tell you to move and to just get out of the place that you are and to get into movement. Because the reality is that we as a nation, we as business owners, we as families have been shocked before. Do we remember when the Twin Towers fell in 9/11, right? We were shocked. And then we were also shocked when the housing bubble burst and we had the bank crisis and the stock market took 40% of our life savings or our parents' life savings out the window. We were shocked and we were paralyzed then, just like we're shocked and paralyzed now. My opinion is that we're struggling with a loss of normalcy, and we're really shocked about the fear of economic toll that this is going to take on us. And we're definitely dealing with something we've never dealt with before, which is a loss of connection. We've been shocked before and we've been through it before and we've gotten out of it before. So the reality of it is you cannot change that your customers were just told they're not allowed to come to your salon. They canceled the weddings you were going to photograph. They can't come to your gym and they can't come to your store. You can't change that you're locked in your home. You can't change that the business that you created with blood, sweat, tears, and debt is stalled for the unforeseeable future. You can't change that you're scared. You can't change that you don't have answers, and you can't change that you are shocked, angry, and hurting. But what you can change is where you stand and what you do in this season. You can be angry, you can be afraid, but you also get to take advantage of this moment because there is an advantage to this moment. You are going to go through some content and some material today, even though you're shocked. And we're going to be talking about how you can restart your business. And we're going to start about looking at how you're going to start working on your business versus working in your business. Without realizing it, because so many of us are shocked, we've just been forced to take a breather as business owners. I don't know about you, but I know that I normally have 6 to 8 appointments a day. I'm on Zoom like this with my clients all over the country. I have face-to-face appointments. I run a financial planning practice. I have a lot going on in my career and in my businesses. So I am always going. And I constantly tell myself that I wish I had time to read books and listen to podcasts or even just sit down and plan and make creative ideas for what I want to do and implement those creative ideas. Well, I'm sure all of you can identify with that. This is a moment where we're all being forced to stop. And because of this moment, we can work on our business versus working in our business, which is what we're used to doing. Another advantage that you have is that you're going to be forced to play some financial triage on your business to get you through the next 8 weeks. For those of you who don't know me, I am a financial consultant or business consultant, and the whole focus of my business is helping business owners put financial systems in place that make them wildly profitable. And one of those systems is learning the muscle memory of keeping the money that we're making. So my clients, I love hearing this and I love saying this, my clients that have graduated from my coaching program are sending me messages right now like, I am so thankful you taught me how to manage my money. I would be freaking out right now. I got a message yesterday from somebody who's like, I have $30,000 sitting around right now because of what you taught me to do. A year and a half ago, I wouldn't have this and I would be out of my mind, freaked out. I've received tons of emails from my past clients who are like, hey, you know what? Because you taught me to do the financial systems that you did, I was able to get one of those new SBA loans. If you hadn't taught me that, I would not have qualified for that. So those people are talking about the financial work that they did with me and on their business over the last several years. You're being forced to do something like that. They voluntarily did it over time. Now you're going to be forced to do some financial triage in your business. And you know what, you guys? It's going to be one of those things where you're going to look back and say, thank you, God, I was forced into looking at my business and working on it instead of working in it. Also, you are having an advantage. And all of you who came here, the hundreds of you that registered for this, you clearly identified that you wanted to learn something and that you don't ever want to go back to the way things used to be. So you are going to be learning some new financial mindsets and habits from me now and through podcasts and other things. But you never, ever want to go back to doing business the way you used to do business. And this is that moment of clarity for each of us. This is your restart. So over the next 8 weeks, you are going to be working on your business. And I'm going to be teaching you over the next few minutes what that restart looks like. The previous class that came, I think on Thursday, asked me, Leanne, do you think that we're going to be shut down for the next 8 weeks? Is that why you picked 8 weeks? The reality of it is I do think we're going to be shut down for the next 8 weeks. It's not clear yet if not all 50 states are even in a situation where their states are shut down. And not all states are quarantining right now. So I think until all 50 states have done that, this is going to continue to drag on. But I don't want you to lose hope because 8 weeks is not very long. Let me take you back 8 weeks ago. 8 weeks ago, we were post-coital with Christmas. We were starting to plan quarter one. We were enjoying a thriving economy. We were taking for granted that the stock market was literally at its all-time high. And that unemployment was at its historic all-time low. That was just 8 weeks ago. So 8 weeks ago isn't that long. So I want you to like tell yourself the truth, comfort yourself with the truth that 8 weeks ago isn't that long. And if your business is closed effectively for the next 8 weeks, you will be okay. It isn't that long. It's something that you can survive. So this next hour is about helping you create a plan for the next 8 weeks, starting with what I'm going to refer to as our clear thinking mindsets. When we're in grief and when we're emotionally aroused, our brain literally stops working. It just does. Psychologists, I'm not one, but psychologists talk about this all the time. They talk about the hyperarousal system of your brain. When it's aroused, literally the rest of the brain shuts down and is like, I can't do this. So we have to choose to calm down. We have to start thinking clearly. And so I'm going to be going over several things I want you all to think clearly about. And I want you to take really good notes in this section. So the very first thing, I cannot believe how many times I've said this since this crisis began. The very first one is that you shall not make long-term decisions with short-term information. I'm surprised how often I'm hearing stories of people telling me that their contracts for this summer have been canceled, that their wedding is being canceled, that everything is being canceled. And that is clearly showing us that people are reacting. Reacting is one thing, but we're stepping back as business owners and business leaders and saying, what is actually going on here? What is actually going on here is that people are in fight and flight mode. Your customers are in fight and flight mode. You're probably in fight or flight mode. And when you're in that mode, you do not think clearly. And so if people are canceling business on you or you're feeling uncertain about what's going to happen in 8 weeks or 12 weeks, try your best to not make a long-term decision with short-term information. The information about what's going on in the world is changing day by day. So how can we possibly make a long-term decision with that? The one long-term decision I want you to make is that you're not going to make long-term permanent decisions for your business. What I want you to do is meditate on the truth. Meditate on the fact that this is not going to last forever. Tell yourself that. And remember that almost all small businesses in America, and big ones for that matter, are closed. So the business community is a level playing field by and large. I want you to meditate on the truth that your business will reopen again. And let me tell you, you need to be ready for when it does. I had a lot of feedback after the last class of people telling me like, oh, I hadn't even thought about how things might be different or how there might be a surge of demand for my business when this opens back up. You need to be ready for when your business opens. One of those long-term decisions you're not making is shutting your business down for good. If anything, you're going to innovate your business and make it better. And in the next 8 weeks, one of the truths I want you to meditate on is that you have an opportunity to learn some things and get really clear and really honest about really what has worked for your business over the last year or 2 years and what hasn't, so you can start a lot stronger. One of the things that's kind of the pillar content of what I teach in my practice and talk about on my podcast is something I call the Make Money Vortex. If I were with each of you in person, I would take out a whiteboard and I would draw this for you, but I'm not so creative and not so talented to be able to teach that in a PowerPoint with hundreds of people around and draw it on a screen. That's not my skill. So I've created a graphic to help illustrate it. But the reason I'm going to show this to you is I want you to dwell on the truth. I want you to see your financials a little differently. And I want you to see what this make money opportunity is in a different light. Because at some point you started a business. You had a talent, a gift, a skill, a passion, something that made you go, I'm going to take that passion or skill and I'm going to be self-employed and I'm going to start a business. And at the point that you did that, you had faith in yourself and faith in what your business was going to create. And then you went out and you started to do the thing of your business. The whole time, you knew that you could make a livelihood. You believed you could make a livelihood doing that. So even if the motivators to starting a business weren't necessarily financial, you definitely had a financial motivator because you didn't want to keep the job that you had prior. So what I want you to see as I show you this vortex is that it is very easy when you're a business owner to get stuck in a mindset and get stuck in a vortex that makes you spend money to make money. And when we're spending money to make money, we're always wondering where our money went. Life is giving you an opportunity right now to look back on your financial habits as a business owner. Whether you've been in business 1 year, 10 years, or 20 years, you get to look back right now when everything is paused. And if you're honest with yourself, part of why you are so stressed right now is you're stuck in this vortex where you know that you know deep in your heart that you've spent money to make money because everybody tells you that's how it works. You got to have money to make money. But now the making part is halted. And what you are feeling, even if you aren't articulating it, is I'm stuck holding the bag of spending money and I have no money coming in. So here's what the vortex looks like. Try to put your own numbers in this mindset and or on the screen and try to just imagine with me. Maybe when you started your business, your overhead, what you spent money on from your rent at your office to the subscription services that you have or whatever, maybe that's $2,000 a month for you. For some, it's $10,000. For some, it's $1,000. It could be $100,000. Whatever. All of you had a starting point where you opened your business and you spent some money and you knew that if you just made as much as you spent, that you would have a break-even point. We are Americans, and so we live in a consumeristic society that tells us that we can spend without consequence. Even though we live through the consequences, we deeply, deeply believe in the culture of our country that we are entitled to spend. And all the business gurus say it takes money to make money. So what happens is this. We start to spend money as a business owner. And we believe that if we buy the right stuff, have the right guru on board, get the right marketing program, do all those things, that if we spend that money, we will start making money. And what always seems to happen is we spend money a little bit and then we make a little bit of money And we're like, okay, that seemed to work. But then when we look back, we realize, oh my goodness, now instead of $10,000 a month to break even or a year to break even, I need $50,000 a month or a year to make it break even. And my dear friends, here is what I want you to see, that spending money to make money only puts your business in a cycle that forces you to make more money and more money and more money so that you can just hit break even point. And when I'm working one-on-one with business owners, I hear and I see people cry with me. They're like, I don't get it. Like, how is it possible that when I started my business, I only needed $10,000 a year to break even, and I've more than tripled sales over the last several years, and I still can't pay myself? Well, that's because as Americans, we have a mindset and a belief system about our money. So when we get stuck in this vortex, we do the only thing we know to do, which is to spend more money. So now we need the better consultant, we need the better program, we need Facebook ads, we need. And then we start spending more money to make more money. And before we know it, we now need $100,000 a year just to break even. And that's not even paying ourselves. So I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but I want you to know that over the last 17 years, as I've worked with business owners all over the country, and I've drawn this picture for them one-on-one almost every time, tens of thousands of people, almost every time, people say to me, yeah, that's what happened to me. Like, it was so simple when I started my business, and now it's so complicated. I wish I could just go back and just do the simple thing and just be thankful for what I had instead of getting stuck in this, I need to beat last quarter sales figures, I just need to make more money. Folks, making more money is not the solution. It's not the solution before the COVID crisis began, and it's not the solution in 8 weeks when you open your business again. Because the reality of it is, the more you spend, the more you have to make just to break even. When I teach this in workshops, this is the part when I'm looking out in the audience, everybody's frozen. And I tell them, breathe. So I'm saying the same to you. Take a deep breath. You have lived through what I just went through in one way or another. And now we're here. We're right where we are in the United States of America in 2020, and we have businesses that are shut down, and we have lived through that vortex, and we're asking ourselves, what next? Well, what's next is that we have to pull back, and we have to say to ourselves, all right, that didn't work. And I know that it didn't work because I'm freaking out about all the bills that I have for my business and all the liabilities that I've incurred and all these. Now, just to give you a heads up, in a little bit, I'm going to be going through what law passed on Friday and what the options are with your SBA loans and everything. But if you know me at all, you know I'm going to always empower you first before I teach you the nitty-gritty, because the nitty-gritty is not going to be the solution. The nitty-gritty, the SBA loans, all those things are not the solution long-term. What we want for you long-term is to step back and get honest about what's going on in your business, and maybe get honest about why you're not prepared for what's happening in your business right now. It's okay. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be ashamed. We just need to move, kind of like when my mom passed away and I couldn't leave the doorway. We just have to move. So here is what moving is going to look like. We're gonna reinvent and repackage 8 weeks of relevant offerings. There's two principles that I want to get across to you. There are gobs of people who want to support your business more than ever, right? If your business is very relationship centric, and if your business is very community centric, then you have to know and believe this truth. People do want to do business with you more than ever. We're starting to have this moment of clarity as a nation about what's really important. And people who are stuck at home are thinking about the services and the businesses they like to do business with. And we're starting to feel a very rare emotion, which is, I can't even do business with them the way that I want to. And I wish I could, right? I've received lots of messages this week from people saying, I want so bad just to come and sit with you and have you talk to me. And that's a wonderful gift to be told that, right? but everybody's feeling that way. So remember, gobs of people want to support your business more than ever. And the other pillar here is that there are tons of people, it's hard to believe, but there are tons of people who are still working at home and are still making a living at home. And there are tons of people who are looking for deals right now where they're just like, hey, I'm going to buy products and services for when the world opens again. And they're looking for deals. I'll pick on myself as an example because I'm the only one talking. But I am in a major home remodel. Like, I'm not exaggerating. This room I'm sitting in is the only room of the home that is even decent enough to do this conference in. I'm down to subfloor and wires hanging everywhere. Walls are ripped out, dust. I mean, it's a disaster. And I really, really want a designer to help me when the world opens again. So believe me, I am looking for somebody who's a designer who's going to say, hey, let's put together a package for you. And I'll start looking online for, you know, furniture deals or whatever. There are people like me out there in the world who both want to do business with you and are going to be looking for opportunities and deals right now. So when you put on your clear thinking mindset, these are the things I want you to remember for the next eight weeks. Who wants to do business with you and what can you give them right now? What kind of deal can you give them so you can get some cash coming in the door right now? So I want you to ask yourself, what is your best-selling product or service and how can you modify it for 8 weeks? So I'm going to give you some examples of people that I have worked with in the last week that are my clients and the ideas that we've come up with. A dentist that I work with told me that, you know, he's like, I have all these high jumps. You wouldn't believe the overhead of a dentist's office. It's crazy. But he has all these hygienists and he has all these services. And it came down to us saying, okay, what's your best selling service? And he's like, well, I guess it's, you know, fixing teeth, like fillings and things like that. Well, he was offering a deal that if you pre-book your next dental work, either with a hygienist or with him, that you could get nitrous for free. A lot of business, I didn't know this, but a lot of dentists started charging for nitrous. And in his office, it was like $85 a pop. So you go in there and you sit down and he's like, all right, would you guys like to have some nitrous? And they say, oh, it's not covered by insurance and you have to pay $85 out of pocket just to take the edge off, right? So he's going to be offering nitrous service for free because it costs him literally nothing to provide that to his patients. And it'll make them more comfortable. My guess is he'll do that long term after he sees how that makes his clients feel like he gave them something of value in the interest of making them more comfortable. A hairdresser that I know decided that she would pre-book 8 weeks out. And because of how hairdressing works, they have a situation where people, especially women, color their hair. And hair color is what people, I guess I'm hearing, are freaking out about. Like, hairdressers are saying their clients are calling them saying, what am I going to do for 8 weeks? I need my hair color. So a couple of hairdressers I know have said, hey, you know what? If you pre-buy your next appointment, I will give you a discount on a cut and a color together. And I'm seeing this work very well for hairdressers. They're just pre-booking future business and charging people for it now, because one of the pillars is people want to do business with you and they will do business with you again when the world opens again. So what kind of deal can you give them? What about a graphic designer? I think this is one of the most beautiful stories that I've seen in this crisis. But a graphic design firm that I know, as soon as things hit and our businesses were shut, literally put out an offer that if your business wasn't online, they would work with you for free to get your business online. Isn't that amazing? And so they've been doing it. They've been taking businesses that had no online offering and actually getting them online, helping them build websites, helping them do those things at no charge. And when I look at that, I think, wow, they are so generous. And they are so smart because they know that those people are going to, that people they would have never known otherwise are going to do business with them forever and ever because of this act of goodwill. Restaurants are, of course, suffering massively because restaurants, if you don't know this, have a very low overhead, no, they have a very high overhead, low profit margin business. And so restaurants are doing really creative things where they are, of course, packaging food. But if you own a restaurant, this is a great time to get in touch with your merchant company, your merchant services company. A lot of them are offering to do kind of like a, if your customers buy a $25 gift certificate, we are going to put an extra $10 on it. So the merchant companies are working with restaurants to give consumers more bang for their buck, because after being cooped up all this time, we are going to want to go out to eat again with a vengeance, right? So if you own a restaurant, it makes a ton of sense to be thinking about what you can sell today for future business to keep loyal patronage. A brewery that I know is doing something absolutely incredible. We schemed this idea up together, but they went and bought a bunch of things that are called grunts. So they're not big growlers, they're grunts. And they created a program, which they did not have before we met a week and a half ago. So we dreamed up this idea of, what if you could create a grunt club where somebody could come in their car with their grunt to the brewery and have a subscription service where they can fill their grunt or their growler up one time a week, twice a week, or whatever. So that their loyal patrons want their beer. And in the state that they're in, they don't have access to buy liquor anywhere else. And so what a unique opportunity for that business to say, okay, how can I reinvent my product and service for the next 8 weeks? These are just examples, real life examples of people that I'm really working with and what they've done to get themselves through the next 8 weeks. And you can do it too. So I ask you to consider, what can you do? What can you modify? What can you pre-sell for when your business opens again? Okay, going crazy with slides here. Clear thinking mindset number two is that profit is always, always, always a decision. It never just happens. So remember the make money vortex that I just showed you a few minutes ago? Well, what is actually happening for business owners that get stuck on that is they believe the lie of the land, which is, if I make more money, all of my financial problems will be over. And so we as business owners know that if we could just hire the right person, get the right strategy, get the better office, get more customers, then we would have profit. But what I teach businesses, from businesses that are making their first 50,000 to their first 5 million, it's the same concept. Profit is a decision, it never happens. And so your profit priorities in the next 8 weeks need to be very laser focused. Let me define what that looks like. One of those things that you want to focus on is that making some money is better than none. So I'll share with you, I've had some pushback from people who have said, why would I pre-sell a service that I provide? And then bank those dollars for when the business opens again. Because when the business opens again, wouldn't it be a more profitable decision to just charge full price after this long period of time? And my answer to that is no. Because first of all, you don't know how long this is going to drag on, number one. And number two, when you are being laser focused and you are going to do some of the things I'm going to teach you to do today, you are going to drastically reduce your overhead. I mean, dramatically to reduce your overhead. And so even if you're making a little less on a product or service than you were before this crisis happened, if the bottom has fallen out of your expenses, then your profit margins are going to be higher than ever. And so we want to use this period of time to bring cash into the business and to do what we can to get cash in the business, not with the make more money mindset, but instead with the mindset that I'm in a special space in time where I can operate my business probably cheaper than ever before. And these dollars that come in, I'm just going to bank them and hoard them and hold them until business is open again. So that when you go restart and the business is open, you have cash reserves to begin and to begin strong. The other thing I really want to communicate, especially if you would consider yourself a person of faith, is that making goodwill is a no-cost investment. You can't be in business. You can't do the things you want to do, even if you wanted to. I'm thinking of a landscape company that actually said, you know what we're going to do? We're not allowed to do certain parts of our job, but what we can do is we can go around to our clients, and we can help them, you know, re-rock stuff, and we can do things, and just, they aren't charging for it. They're just like, who can we serve today? That's incredible, right? Also, the graphic designer that I just told you about, who can we serve today? I'll pick on myself. You wouldn't believe, I've never been so busy since this crisis happened. And almost all the work I'm doing is without charge, because I'm trying to help business owners triage, right? Making goodwill is a no-cost investment. What can you do for your community when you can't make the money that you were used to making, but you can garner goodwill, which creates loyal relationships, loyal friendships, and P.S., serves the community. Those two things together are the things you need to focus on with your profit priorities. One more example. Somebody who went through this class on Thursday came to me and said, you know what? Have you thought about the fact that funeral homes can't do their thing? Like, there are people dying, but we can't have funerals. I hadn't thought about that. And so this guy is a creative in the video space. So he went and he told the local funeral homes that if anybody passes until his business reopens, he will absolutely create a video that at least gets people through their grieving in this time, right? Can you see how cool that is? You have an opportunity to stand up and be a leader, a service-oriented leader, a servant leader in your community, and it will be something that will pay dividends when your business reopens. The other thing I want you to hear very clearly, because this is our clear thinking mindset, is that communication is king the next 8 weeks. You need to be communicating that you are still in business. You need to tell the world that you are still in business. Don't hide or pretend that this isn't happening. We just don't want to be the business leaders that are in denial. Tell people that you're in business, even if you're feeling unsure about what's going to happen in the future. Tell the world you're still in business. And remember that the 80-20 rule is always, always right. 80% of your business comes from 20% of your customers. 80% of your revenue comes from 20% of your customers. So step back a minute and start communicating with them. What do they need the most from you right now? What do you know that they need to buy? And start creating communication around what you're offering for the next 8 weeks to your 20%. The 80% are people that are going to provide you the least amount of revenue. So really focus on that 20% of your customer base, because 80% of your business before this all happened came from 20% of your customers. And you have an opportunity right now to tell that 20% that you are still open, you are still the leader of whatever it is that you do in your business, and that you are there for them. Don't hide from them. Communicate. Here's our third clear thinking mindset. Proactive practices and balanced priorities. Oh my gosh, this is the key. Balanced priorities. Not feast and famine, not crazy polar opposite emotional responses. Balanced priorities with our money will eradicate fear. So I'm going to be going through over the next few minutes the proactive practices, things you need to do, and the things you need to balance with your priorities with money. And if you will do these things, then you will start to feel the fear that you're feeling financially fall off of you, because proactive practices and balanced priorities with money will make that fear go away. So here's the first one. Your first priority is about the word cash. What do you do with the cash that you have on hand? Now, if you haven't met me before, or you haven't been around me, or haven't gone through any of my coaching, then this might seem foreign to you. But I just need to say this, because I know there's tons of people from all over here. Most business owners don't know that they should have completely separate finances. They should have business finances over here, and they should have personal finances over here. And the difficulty is that we feel like our business and our personal finances are always holding hands, and they never break up. But I teach people to separate them completely. There's your business over here. It needs to make its own money. It needs to pay its overhead, and it needs to be profitable. From those profits, we then pay ourselves a paycheck, right? So what I'm going to be talking about here are your cash priorities in your business. And if you're somebody who's been commingling your personal and your business finances, or you don't have that clarity, then I'm going to be giving you some resources at the end about how you can get educated by me about how to stop that. But you just need to stop doing that, right? You just need to take this as a note and get clear, get that cash separated. But for those of you who've worked with me or you already have this separation, what I want you to do is protect your cash. And the way you're going to do that is you're going to, on Monday, call your bank or your credit union, and you're going to ask them to issue you new debit cards. I would suggest we do this for both business and personal. Why would we want to do that? Well, unbeknownst to us, especially if you haven't gone through the process that I take people through, then you probably don't have a really clear plan of who takes your money and whether it's profitable investment or if it's just money that you're accidentally wasting or just trying to write off through your business. So what I love to see all of you do is call them tomorrow and say, I need you to cancel my debit card. And I do not, this is the key, I do not want my new card provided to merchants through automatic update services. There is something that happens in the world of Visa and MasterCard. So merchants, think of, you know, anybody online, can pay extra to have a service where there's an automatic update. So if you lose your debit card or it expires, or you lose your credit card or it expires, those services that you've provided your credit card number to don't want to go through the hassle of trying to get you to update your credit card. And so they pay extra to have the automatic update service. And most people don't know this. So you have to tell them you do not want them to give your merchants the automatic update service on your cards. What that's going to do for you is it's going to protect the cash that you have today. Here's an example of something I saw in my coaching practice this year. We went through bank statements and we discovered that there were two Dropbox accounts. And unbeknownst to this business owner, they were paying $50 a month times two for two different Dropbox accounts. Human behavior with money is simply we pick up our phone and we look at our bank's app and we're always asking ourselves just one question. How much do I have left to spend? We do that in our personal finances. We do that in our business finances. So when we open up our bank accounts app and we look, we are human. So we're asking that question, how much do I have left to spend? So with this business owner, when they were looking at their bank account and they saw a Dropbox, they were like, oh yeah, I have a Dropbox account. But it doesn't register oftentimes to us that we are subscribed to things that we should not be subscribed to or we don't want to be subscribed to. But our behavior is just about what we have left to spend. So we mentally note to ourselves, oh yeah, I need to cancel that. And then we move on. Because the real question that we had when we picked up our phone was, what do we have left to spend? Once we answer that question, we move on. So this is a strategy that I want all of you to do. I want you to protect your cash from all of those conversations or all those subscriptions that you've subscribed to over the years, and make sure that they have to ask you for their business again. So when you cancel the credit card or you cancel the debit card, you're going to start getting emails from everybody in the world asking you to update your billing. And that's when you can step back and go, no, I'm not going to update my billing right now, because for the next 8 weeks, I want you protecting your cash and hoarding your cash so that you have operating capital when your business opens again. Okay. Priority number two, this may not apply to all of you. This does apply to you if you are an S corporation paying yourself through payroll. I need to cover it because I don't know the mix of people that are here. One of the most asked questions I'm getting right now is about payroll. So let's talk about payroll priorities. Payroll, if you have cash on hand right now and you're a business owner, you're a dentist, you're a restaurant, you're a brewery, you're anybody that has staff, payroll is legally your very first financial priority with any of the cash that you have sitting around. Now, there is some speculation that payroll taxes are going to be suspended through this economic, you know, recovery effort that the government is doing right now. But as of now, as of Sunday, they have not been suspended. So it isn't clear at all if your 941s, which are the tax return that you send to the government, where you turn in your FICA tax, basically. So it isn't clear if your 941s are going to be included in tax deferments. or not. So if you're a self-employed person paying yourself on payroll, you know that your bookkeeper or yourself actually do the 941s every single quarter. So you need to actually just do it, because I don't want you to get 6 months down the road and not have the cash on hand for any reason to pay your 941s. They will be due eventually. They have not been wiped off. So make sure that you pay them for both your employees and for yourself. So your payroll priorities have to include those 941s. One question I'm getting a lot right now is, what if I don't have the money to cover payroll? My rent or mortgage, like some business owners own buildings. What if I don't have the money to pay the insurance premiums for myself or for my employees because the government just shut my business down? What if, right? This is a really big question self-employed people are asking themselves. First thing is you need to start communicating with your employees and letting them know what's going on if you haven't already. If you are feeling like, or have been like me, where you were just stuck in grief and shock, then you might have been not knowing what to say to your employees, and you might feel really afraid of that conversation. What I'm telling you is you need to start communicating with your employees. And I do really recommend that you consider laying them off if you don't have the money to cover payroll, rent, tax, etc. Especially in the state of Washington with the family medical leave stuff, that becomes a payroll liability for your future, and you may not want to carry that liability on your books. So laying off your people sucks. And it kind of tongue-in-cheek is making me laugh right now, because all of the news is screaming about how unemployment's at an all-time high. Well, try to take that with a grain of salt. Unemployment is not at an all-time high permanently. Unemployment is at an all-time high now, because the government just shut down all of the businesses, and we have nowhere to work. And responsible, thoughtful employers are laying their people off so that they can get healthcare through their state program, so that they can get unemployment benefits, et cetera. So if you don't have the money around to actually pay for last week's payroll right now, it will be a really big discussion and a difficult decision to lay your people off. But remember, you can always hire them again when everything opens. So that's one option. The other option is to talk to somebody. It could be me, it could be somebody else, about the SBA disaster relief options, which include a loan to grant provision, which I'm going to cover here just in a minute. But don't go get an extra business loan just to keep your people employed. That needs to be done really thoughtfully, because you don't want to acquire more debt in this period of time unless absolutely required. So get some counsel as to whether or not it's a wise solution long-term. Remember, we're not making long-term decisions with short-term information. And this whole SBA disaster relief loan option is one of those long-term decisions that you may or may not want to make with this short-term information. The other thing I want to tell employers is, I know it sucks, but you cannot own the financial burdens of your employees. You cannot internalize that. You can't say, well, people working for me, this is their livelihood. I know it's their livelihood. And I know you love your staff. I know you care about them. And I know you feel responsible for their well-being. But you cannot carry that burden financially when your business has been shut down, because doing so could be financial suicide for you. So in most cases, it may be the best thing, if you don't have the cash on hand, to cover your full payroll, cover your rent or mortgage, and keep paying health insurance premiums. That could become financial suicide for you. I've been hearing people ask me questions like, I'm gonna turn in my 401k to cover payroll. Oh my goodness, that is the kind of thinking I don't want you to make. That's taking long-term money to use as a short-term solution or band-aid, and you really shouldn't do it. Here's our third priority: filing your 2019 taxes and paying Uncle Sam. So if you haven't already heard this, let me be the first to tell you that the deadline for filing your taxes and paying your 2019 taxes is July 15th. So if you have been self-employed for a long time, then you already heard that, you know, April 15th is the day that you have to file your taxes. But if you do an extension, that doesn't extend the date out to when you have to pay your taxes. So I've had business owners over the last, since the first of the year, concerned about how $60,000 or $70,000 or $100,000 of the money they had sitting around in cash was going to go out the door to paying their tax bill. So it hurts a lot more when you're self-employed to pay your taxes than it does when you're employed, because it just happens a little bit over time. So hear me clearly, that the deadline for filing is till July 15th and the deadline for paying your taxes is till July 15th. So if you're one of my clients and you've created that account that I asked you to create for tax, and you've been really diligent about moving money out of your income account, putting it in your tax account, then you can make a business decision right now. If having that tax money sit in that account till the end of July makes you feel like you've got some buffer, then you can do that. However, I do not recommend that you use the money that you have saved for tax for operating capital right now. Like, I had a business owner this week say, well, I have $60,000 in my tax account. I'm going to just go ahead and use that for payroll. And my quick answer was, no, we're not doing that. That money, that tax bill is still going to be due. So we want to be thoughtful and careful about how we do that. Unless, of course, you're the kind of business where you have a high certainty that business will be the same in 8 weeks. Example, some chiropractors that I've worked with, they know that their patients are going to come back, and they have a high certainty that their business is going to be about the same from a cash flow perspective when they open again. So they are maybe making the decision to use some of the tax money that they saved. But overall, I don't recommend it. The other thing about taxes from a priority standpoint is you may want to go ahead, even though the date of extension and the date for filing has been pushed out till July. You may want to go ahead and file them, and here is why. If you want to qualify for one of those SBA disaster relief loans, it can be helpful to you to have your 2019 taxes done. The bill that passed does not require you to have your 2019 done, but you are going to have to prove somehow, some way, that your business was impacted by this crisis, and you're going to have to prove that you had a loss of business. So while everybody else is stuck and grieving and isn't doing anything but maybe reading online and trying to make sense of it, here you are on a Sunday afternoon learning this stuff from a financial expert. And what I'm telling you is that if you want and can prove that your 2019 taxes are going to show a bigger loss or impact of your business revenue from where you were when you filed till now, that it's probably going to make a lot of sense to file your tax return early or on time if you are finding that you want to apply for one of those loans. So here's how you do that. CPAs are breathing again. They weren't as of a week and a half ago because they don't breathe from basically February 1st till May 1st. So they're breathing again and they're taking calls again. So call your CPA and say, hey, do you have time to finish my tax return? What is still missing that you need from me? Now, another strategy with this is if you don't know how much you might be owing in taxes for 2019, and if you're my client, you have money sitting around for that, right? So what you could do is you could have your tax return done on a preliminary basis. So what you say to your CPA is, hey, I'd like to see my preliminary tax return. Don't file it. I just want to see it. And maybe you're going to luck out. Maybe you're going to end up owing less money than you saved for your taxes. And so if you end up owing $5,000, but you had $10,000 set aside for tax, then that $5,000 with full integrity could be pulled into operations of your business to help you through this time or to help you start your business. So knowledge is power as far as how these taxes go. With both strategies, whether you apply for one of the SBA disaster loans or if you just really are somebody like me who's super interested in knowing like, oh, how much of my tax account can I actually just, or what's the least amount of that tax account I'm going to need to pay this tax bill? And if you have more than you need, then you can pull that money into operations. Totally awesome. But just make sure that you ask them to do a preliminary tax return and not file it so that you can be thoughtful and ask questions before you file it. Okay. Let's talk about proactive practices. So those were your priorities, right? Protecting your cash, And making sure we've taken care of our taxes, etc. Now we're going to talk about things you need to absolutely do on a proactive basis. So I don't know, I'm just gonna be honest with you guys and vulnerable for a second. As a business consultant, I can honestly tell you that I have had the hardest 2 weeks of my professional life. I've been walking with business owners that I love and have supported for years. I've been meeting new business owners that I'm just starting to love and just starting to support. And every single one of them is grieving and every single one of them is hurting. And I have had the privilege of being strong for them and carrying their burdens with them. I mean that sincerely. I am so honored to do that for my clients. And I can also tell you that at the end of a day, I go home and I'm just like, or I stay home. Let's be clear. But I feel emotionally zapped and I can barely even get my head around what I'm supposed to do somehow, some way to educate my children and homeschool them on top of all of this. So you may feel like that as I talk you through these next things. You may feel like, man, I am so emotionally fried. How can you possibly ask me to be proactive? Again, this is like when my sister grabbed my hand and pulled me out of the doorway and made me move, right? I'm going to ask you to be proactive and I'm going to ask you to dig deep and dig deep into what I'm about to teach you because these things have to happen. And if you don't feel like you have the emotional strength to do them, then do them with me or do them with somebody else, right? Like get somebody on board to help you with this, with these practices because they're really, really important. First one is about your business loans and your credit cards. When we are afraid and paralyzed, money becomes one of the last things we want to think about, especially money that's we would consider is a debt. So your proactive priority is to not be afraid and to be bold. So if you just feel like, man, I don't like the thought of calling a bank right now makes me hyperventilate. I don't like to talk to people who work in financials. It scares me. I always feel dumb. I don't know what to say. I get that. I get that. But right now you need to say some stuff to the people you owe money to. You have to. You can't stand in the doorway. You've got to move. And what I'm hearing from bankers and I'm hearing from my clients and my new friends that I've been working with that have come back and reported to me, what bankers are saying is the people who are proactive and bold and assertive are the ones that are getting the help that you want. So you need to be proactive. Here is what you need to say to your business loans and to your credit cards. Call your lenders and say, hey, my business was shut down by this COVID crisis. I need to request payment deferment and or to have my loan modified. I need to request payment deferment and or have my loan modified. Most of the banks are making this really easy. I've heard countless times people say, oh yeah, they made it really easy. They just said, don't worry about making your business loan payment for 120 days. Some are saying 2 months, some are saying 120 days. It just depends. If your business loan is an SBA loan, very likely you are going to see 120 day deferment. So that gives you some breathing space, right? I'm thinking of a clothing company that I work with. Their mortgage is like $2,500 a month for just their office space, right? So when they get $2,500 a month deferred, that means they have to, remember the vortex, right? The more we make, the more we spend, the more we spend, the more we make. So that particular company just got $2,500 pulled out of their operation budget. So they have this little window of time to be thoughtful and smart and wise and innovate and make money while their biggest expense or one of their biggest expense, which is a mortgage. And for a lot of businesses, the second biggest expense is their payroll or their biggest expense. Those are gone. So now we are in a situation where we have some time to make money and breathe and plan and save and save and keep the money we're making. So most banks are making this easy. And you may want to do this also for your personal mortgage. I know it's working. A lot of like Bank of America, Some of the credit unions, they have buttons right on their website where you can just like, boom, ask for deferment of your personal mortgage, and you can make that happen as well. So I really need you to write down what I'm about to say, because this is one of those critical things. Make sure you say to them when you make this phone call, hey, what's going to happen at the end of 120 days? Am I going to be owing all of these payments, like 6 months worth of payments on day 121? Or is this just extending the term of my loan by 120 days? I had one person go through loan deferment phone call and they did not ask this question. I had them go call that person, that bank back, and ask this question. And he came back to me and said, oh my gosh, Leanne, I had no idea they were going to make me pay all of it at the end of this 120 days. So we obviously said, no thanks, we're going to try a different strategy. But most banks are literally just saying, no payments, no interest for 120 days or for 60 days. So see, doesn't that feel good? Knowledge is power, but you got to be proactive and you got to do it. The other thing I want you all to be doing from a proactive standpoint is refinancing your high interest debt now. So interest rates are at like almost 0%. And if you have good credit and you have, this has been one of those pesky financial details, you're like, oh yeah, I should probably look for a balance transfer on that. You have the time now to look for a balance transfer. So if you have high interest debt, go ahead and start looking for a 0% balance transfer and get that high interest debt transferred to a 0% card, so that you have some time to think and breathe. And then when your revenue streams turn back on to full force, let's create a plan about how to pay that off. The other thing about you who have SBA loans, literally the information is changing day by day, but this may be an opportunity for you to get a better SBA loan to shift your debt situation around. So I can think of one business that I know that has about a $500,000 building, and it was financed and fixed by an SBA loan. And so we're now in the process of looking for another $600,000 loan, because we can make the numbers work. Well, if we get approved for that, we're going to use this new loan, which has much better provisions, and the new loans actually have a forgiveness clause to them. So we're going to use this to pay off the old loan, and we're going to be really smart about switching those pockets around. This, if you have a high interest SBA loan, or you have kind of an investor situation with an equity share, this might be a place where you want to get some counsel on whether it's wise to refinance that debt, or if you just want to look at a bridge loan. All right. So with this SBA disaster loan, I know there are lots of questions out there. I don't have a slide for this, but before we talk about the disaster loan provisions, I want to kind of go back to the concept of the tax returns, because I forgot to talk about it there. here's the thing. The bill that passed on Friday does allow self-employed people, freelancers, et cetera, to file for unemployment. But you have to be able to prove that you had a loss of income. Unemployment has never been for nonprofits. Unemployment has never been for self-employed people. The self-employed people who employ other people are the ones paying for that program, but they're never been allowed to participate in it. But that just changed. That changed on Friday, and it's Sunday. So this is really fresh and hot. There's very little understanding around it right now, but I've been a financial consultant for a lot of years, so I can tell you the basics of how this is gonna work. When it comes to unemployment, first of all, if you're an employer and you're laying off your people, you don't get a ding against you for laying off your people. Unemployment rates are based off of a lot of different things, but I don't want you to worry about that. Like, oh my gosh, is my unemployment insurance going to be so much higher when I reopen my business? Well, the answer to that is probably yes for all of us, because all of us are experiencing this crisis. And my guess is the states are going to have to try to make up for this by increasing unemployment rates in the future. But that doesn't have anything to do with you specifically. So when it comes to unemployment, what typically happens is it's defined by the state. And so the state will say, okay, we in the state of Washington, where I live, they usually say you have to wait a week or 2 weeks of unemployment before you can even apply. And then when you apply, there's a long, arduous process of getting you approved. which usually takes at least a week. And so it's usually by the fourth week that you start to collect unemployment benefits. And generally it's 45 to 55% of whatever your pay was. So that's what's going to be happening for your employees. But this new thing where self-employed people can apply for it is literally 2 days old. There isn't a lot of detail about it, but what I do know is that the bill provides funding to each individual state to buffer their unemployment programs, and it's requiring the states to provide some benefits to self-employed people. Now, the caveat, I'm just being honest with you, the caveat to that is of course going to be able to be being able to prove your income or prove your income loss. So I, on one hand, I'm really encouraged, but on the other hand, I'm really afraid for business owners, because the bulk of the tens of thousands of business owners I've worked with in my career come to me because they're trying to answer the question, how do I pay myself? Because I don't know how to do that, because I spend every dollar I make on my business. So if you've been that person that's reinvested all of your money back into your business and you haven't been paying yourself, you are going to definitely want to be that person that gets that preliminary tax return done, and you need to be able to have some financials to prove that this crisis dried up your revenue streams. And we're going to see what happens and what the states require. So as much as I want to give you advice about that, I just don't know what the individual states are going to require. But it is a blessing that they're offering that to those of us who are self-employed. So if you are somebody who is a personal trainer, and you have really clear records of what you've made and how you've paid yourself, and you've been really good financially, that's going to be a really good example of somebody who could go apply for unemployment and say, hey, I used to be making this much. The government shut down my gym. I'm now making this much and I have this gap. So that's going to be really easy to show. So just know you're going to have to do some proactive homework on Monday about applying for unemployment benefits. And I, of course, am going to be releasing information, and I'll probably teach another class on that just to help us all understand it when the time comes. Okay, enough about that. Let's talk about the disaster relief loans. I wish we had hours and hours, and I just saw that I've been teaching for an hour already, so I'll hurry this up. But the proactive practices, this is going to be the hardest part. If you want to get one of the SBA disaster relief loans, there's two different types. There's one that's for working capital for up to $2 million. In my practice, I work with businesses that are making, you know, their first $50,000 all the way up to $5 million. If a business is making more than $5 million, I don't feel like I'm a good fit for them. So what I can tell you is the financial needs of a business that's making $100,000 of gross revenue, and a business, the needs of a business that needs, you know, $2 million a year of gross revenue are very different things. But both can be made, there can be a case for both that we need some working capital. So just know the threshold is a capital loan for working capital. So what is working capital? Working capital is money that you have to just run your business, like make payroll or pay your rent or do these things, working capital. So this is not going to be the same as a building loan or anything like that. It's for cash to just run your business. So the loan cap on that is 3.75%, which is very low overall. In a 0% interest rate environment, that seems kind of high to me, but those are the numbers. Then you can also look at getting something called an express bridge loan. The express bridge loans are for working capital of up to $25,000. So if you are one of those restaurants, for instance, that was shut down by this thing, that might be a really good loan option for you, because you are going to want some working capital to buy food and beverage and when you reopen your business. And getting an SBA loan is traditionally kind of a long process, and there's an underwriting to it. Although in a minute, I'm going to talk about what the bill did to change that. But if you want money now, then you might be looking for an express loan. Now, everybody is telling me that when you go online, and in the follow-up email to this class, I will send out the scripts, and I'll send you some links and some more information. But this is where you go to the disasterloansba.gov. This is where you go to apply for that loan online. And there's nightmare stories. Literally every time I've gone here, it says something like, please check back later. The site's under construction or the site is temporarily down. And it's because so many people are trying to do it. So here's what I want you to do instead. Let's think, not be dumb. Let's think. We need to go and be informed that the SBA loan program is actually run by, underwritten by the federal government, but it's run through the states and it's run through the individual bank. So where I live, for instance, in Washington, we have a bank here that's called Washington Trust Bank. Washington Trust Bank is the bank that will actually take the application and they have their underwriting process and they build the relationship with you. They take your application, they go to the SBA. The SBA says, check, we are going to guarantee this loan. And then they come back to you. And so the loan is an SBA loan, but it's actually through Washington Trust Bank. So for those of us who are a lot smarter than not, we are not going to waste our time trying to get through this online application. What we're going to do is we're going to go build a relationship with a banker. We're going to go build a relationship and not be afraid of that process. You're just going to go in and ask a bank, ask a credit union, I'd like to talk about one of those SBA disaster loans with somebody. Will you please set me up with somebody? And I know you're going to meet somebody with empathy and you're going to find somebody that wants to help you in this time. And by the way, banks are essential businesses, so they're still open. Now, as of Friday, the 2020 stimulus package has some new provisions. Under the new program, individual lenders, so like the example of the SBA, will be able to use their own paperwork. So this is a big deal. So instead of the online thing, which is a nightmare, they can use their own paperwork to process the loans and they can expect the SBA approval within 2 weeks. So if you're one of those business owners that has flooded my inbox since Friday with questions about how do we do this and when does the money show up, here's the answer. We do it with a local bank and the bank, right, they take the application, they underwrite it, they take it to the SBA. And so the SBA is saying they will provide the funding from the stimulus package within 2 weeks. So this is why we want to go to the bank on Monday. We want to be the first person in line for that. Banks are not going to distribute the loans, just so you know. They're not going to say, oh, well, we know the SBA is going to, you know, underwrite this. They promise us the money. We'll just give you the money today. They're not going to do that because that's not how banks think or work. They are completely afraid of risk. So they're going to wait until the SBA assures them application by application that it's fully guaranteed against default. And unlike, this is very important, unlike other SBA-backed loans, business owners are not, I can't even believe this, to be honest, that business owners are not going to have to provide personal guarantees, and they're not going to have to put their own assets on the line, from real estate to equipment, collateral, 401ks, all of that stuff is usually put on the line when you get an SBA loan. These new loans, you don't even have to provide a personal guarantee. And there's rumor, I don't know if this is true, there is a rumor that a lot of these loans, if they were used for keeping your payroll, keeping your employees, and for paying your mortgage and your rent, and for your health insurance premiums, if you're that kind of thing, then the rumor is that that loan will be forgiven and it will be treated like a grant. So as of Friday, I'm calling some of the businesses I've worked with and we're having very quick conversations about how to restructure debt and hope in the hope that we are going to see that turn into a grant. There's not enough information about the grant process, so I'm not gonna spend a lot of time on it, but I do know that that is a provision of the bill and we should look at it. The other thing we need to look at is if any of you have student loans, you need to know that the government has deferred your student loans for 2 months. So no interest, no payments. So if you know students or you know you have student loans, like if you're a physician with lots and lots of student debt, just know that that's something you want to call and ask about and get taken care of. All right. In closing, before we start doing some Q&A, I just want to take you through a couple of quick mindsets, and I really hope you write these things down because I want you to remember we've gone through a lot, but the point of all this is about helping you think clearly about what is actually going on, what you can actually do, and to get you ready for what's going to happen when your business reopens. And so my question for all of you and my challenge for all of you is, will you apply the lesson from this crisis to your business when you reset it? Will you apply the lesson that making more money, that mindset, if I just make more money, all my financial problems will be over, that mindset is false hope. It's a lie. It doesn't work. Will you apply the lesson from this crisis that all of your business expenses are not equal? This crisis has taught us that the things that we thought we absolutely had to have to run our business profitably or to run our business at all, we had to have these certain things. And as soon as our businesses were closed by the government, we found ourselves saying, well, guess we don't have to have that anymore. Or no, that wasn't actually that important. All of your business expenses aren't equal. Can you apply that lesson to your business when it reopens? Can you apply the lesson that profit is a habit and it's not a result of increasing sales, that profit is something you engineer into your business? It's not the result of just making more and spending less. It's a habit. It's a muscle that you build. Can you learn that lesson and can you apply that lesson to your future business? Can you apply the lesson that your business has to be your livelihood, not just a money-making opportunity? I would say this is probably the forte of my practice. I will be talking about this until I'm no longer allowed to work, because we start a business with the hope that we will replace our traditional paycheck with the business that we have. And we get in there and we find out it's a lot harder to do because we're spending money to make money. And we are, but we hold on to the opportunity that our business prevents us financially. And it carries us a long time. But most business owners that hire me are hiring me because they haven't figured out how to make their business their livelihood. You have a moment now to pull back and say, I'm going to start learning how to keep the money I'm making. And I'm going to be very intelligent about that. And I'm not going to keep doing a business that doesn't actually provide me a livelihood. It's not just a money-making opportunity, my friends. It needs to be your livelihood. And will you apply the lesson that maybe, possibly, you might need some financial mentorship to learn how to make sure that you always have cash reserves? My clients are not freaking out, not really, because I've taught them that they need to have cash reserves. And I taught them how to do it, right? That can be you too. You don't have to be in crisis mode anytime sales drop a little bit or a lot, or anytime you have a seasonal business. Hello, realtors, I'm talking to you. You don't have to be that way. But the reality of it is, whatever habits we have as a person that doesn't have a business, like just a normal person, whatever our belief systems and habits with money were then, we carry over into our business life. We just do. So please know that you have an opportunity to actually get some financial mentorship to learn how you always have cash reserves. And you can begin your mentorship now. I am not the only financial mentor in the world, but you happen to be in my class, so I'm going to tell you what I have for you. I have gobs of free content on my podcast. My podcast is available on every platform, and I release new episodes every single week. So I'm talking about all the stuff that you just heard me talk about 20 and 30 minutes at a time. And I release new episodes every week. So go consume some content. Learn what we talk about in my practice. I have tons of free training on my Facebook page. Tons. There's classes that I've taught in the past. There's episodes. There's all kinds of stuff out there. I also do free consultations. You've heard me talk about how I'm doing lots of consultations right now. That is my same gift to the community. This is my gift to the business community. And if you're somebody who's like, I need to talk to her one-on-one, then raise your hand. I'll meet with you. I'll give you an hour of my time. Another way you can get your mentorship now is I have a really good ebook. It's called 5 Money Mistakes That Are Killing Your Profit and What to Do About It. You can just get it right on my website, and it takes a deep dive into that whole make money vortex. And I'm very excited. In 8 weeks, no pun intended, I'm releasing something called Profit Lab. And it's going to be an online workshop that you do, and it allows you to self-pace yourself through my very intense coaching program. So it allows you to do it in your own time, in your own space, where you too can learn how to make profit a habit and you can learn how to have cash reserves and never, never get stuck in the make money vortex again. So those are my freebies. And I also want you to know that when you're back in business, you might find yourself saying, okay, I am going to get some one-on-one mentorship. So when you're in that place again, raise your hand if you would like to go through my one-on-one coaching program, and we'll help you set up your financial systems that are going to help you be profitable. Okay, now we're going to take some Q&A from the audience. So first things first, just give me a second. I'm going to pause.